74 when Dad came to Florida with me, Carson. We sat one day and decided we'd try to get something on tape. Well, we did get part of it, and here's what we got.
Huh? Where were you born?
Oh, I was at
Congresslow? Where's that?
Well, that's a couple of miles from Vail, where my mom was born. And, is that a record now?
Well, I'm trying to make a record, trying to find out if this thing works or not, see how it works.
Yeah. Well, then I came to the United States in 1911. And I left Denmark on the 18th day of May and arrived in New York the first day of June, and then I took a train out to Chicago and to Austin, Minnesota, and got put off there.
How old were you when you came over?
19.
And
20 in the fall.
And what year was that then?
1911.
11?
Yeah. I was 20, you know, in that fall. You ready?
Yeah.
Well, then, you know, we got put off there because the train didn't go any further. Didn't go anywhere on Sunday. And there was a girl from, I had to go to Delaware, Minnesota, and there was a girl from Alden, Minnesota. She her sister knew all that, so she came there and picked up her sister, and then she fixed up with a hotel, so we another boy and a girl, we got a room there and stayed there overnight for two nights, and then she made a arrangement with him to get us on a train on Monday morning. And
for where?
On far home. I was going to Delaware, and the girl was going to Jackson, Minnesota, and Norwegian, he was going to Dakota someplace.
Why were you going to Delaware?
That's where I...
Where your brother was?
Yeah.
John?
Yeah, John and Jim.
John and Jim?
Yeah, Jim.
Dick wasn't there yet?
Well, they were there. They come to that place. They come from, they were in Wisconsin. And then a fellow from Delaware, he had a brother in Wisconsin. He came down there and to visit him. And there was John staying there over winter. He had been working for a farm up in the court, and there was nothing to do up there. So he said, why don't you come down to Minnesota? They pay more wages. And they only paid $30 a month up there. Down there, they get 35, and they both went down, hired out, got 35. So it wrote to me to come to Delaware. And so I came to Delaware, and I worked for a farm there for 3 months.
Now we can go again. I can put twice as much on the tape this way.
Oh, you know, too much more in the first place. Well, then I came to Delaware, and I worked for a farm there for 3 months in the summertime, and then John and
Jim, farmer?
Pete Larson, he was from my hometown. That is, he had a sister who lived there, and his niece and nephew that was brought up right next to our farm, she was working, keeping the house for him, and so I worked for him that summer. And then John and Jim, they rented a farm. And they wanted me to plow for them because they were still working for, you know, by the month. And then there was another farmer there, he is half a mile out of the border with him. And then I hired out for him for the following summer, only he didn't have anything to do with that. After we got to say, well, I don't have to work for him in the fall, then I should live there for my board, stay there for my board room and help him with chores. And then he said, how I'd like to go to school, and, well, you know, I couldn't talk very much. So I thought, well, couldn't hurt nothing. So he went down to the school board, and I could go to school, all right. So I attended school down there for January and February. And then in March, spring work started again. And then I worked for him all that summer. And then I picked corn for some of the neighbors, and then the following spring I hired out to John and Jim in East. And then I worked there 2 years. And well, see, I got $400 a year that time I worked for them. And you know, we...
What, and all you could eat? Huh? $400 and all you could eat?
Oh yeah, we always got room and board.
Yeah.
Well, good bastards down there. John and Jim did on the cooking. Once in a while, in summertime, you get the rest of the girls came down and kept house for a while. And we milked, what did we milk? About 25 cows had milk in the hand. We had about 200 hogs. And there was a creamer on the place, and they fixed up a tank, you know, when they made butter. There was all the buttermilk. So all the farmers got what buttermilk they want. Then the rest of it went down in the tank, and we fed that to the hogs. And in the summertime, in the fall after the house was done, we hauled the manure out from the barnyard where the steers and the cows were running. And then we went over to creamy and got a whole pail for buttermilk. We didn't drink water, we drank buttermilk.
Yeah. That's better for you anyway. That's better for you anyway.
Well, yeah, we like it. So then Jim, that was one of the heroes. Oh boy, you know, the pancake he could make, you know. Of course, he had a better appetite that time than him now.
When did you meet Mom?
John, he went to Denver. And
when?
In 1940, to see about her. He wanted to get a wife, and so he went over there to see a girl that he had figured was going to belong with him, but she didn't want to go, so he got another one. Rose was the one that gave him, she came along with him. And then my cousin Carl, you know, Carl, they had been over here, they were hopeful with him, they came over at the same time. And then Marcy came over with them. Well, there was no one, they were stopped in Chicago, and there was no work there for her, so she came, John hired her as a housekeeper. So see, we both worked for John that summer. And then that fall, we got married, and then we started farming the next spring.
What farm was that then?
That was on the mountain farm, you know, you hear talking about.
Yeah.
That's where we started farming, the following spring. And
who was born there?
Knuth?
Just
Knuth? Knuth and Greg and I was all born there.
Oh, they were all born there.
Yeah, and you were born, if we stayed there another month, you would have been born there too.
Oh.
Yeah, we left there in February, you know. In fact, Mama thought that probably you came a little early because I was going on the trip down there. And so we stayed on the mountain farm for 9 years. And then we were on the water farm for 4 years.
That was down near Easton,
Minnesota? Yeah, south of Easton.
Where is that in relation to Bloor? I know where Bloor is.
Well, the farm was, it was about 7 miles southeast of Easton. And the farm, that was about 16 miles to Bloor. That was probably I'd say it's west of where we live.
You must have been awfully close to the Iowa border then, weren't you?
Yeah. I don't think that was more than about 15 or 20 miles from Iowa border.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, you know, on the prohibition, the Iowa people used to come up there. There was plenty up there that made moonshine and beer and, you know, homemade food.
Right, in Minnesota?
Yeah.
But not in Iowa?
No, not in Iowa. That was dry, or even dry in the other.
Oh.
So, they would come there at night, you know, you could hear them come by. And now, when I lived in Easton, there was a place where they made homebrew. Oh, they piled over there, you know, drinking beer. One day, there was a guy that had to stand and walk in back of where they made it. I guess that made him sick, so they cut down. You know, they weren't too particular.
Bathtub, Jim?
Well, he didn't lose it, but I didn't get close. we had a sale in February, and No, I started there with scrub cows and a little run, but did I put that down?
No.
Oh.
We got many hours left here.
We have. There was three auctions the day that mine was. And mine sold the highest. In fact, I think it sold the highest of any herd sold at Mark.
What kind of price did you get for cows then?
Well, I sold cows for 2 5-year-old cows. I remember bought $125 a piece. There were 2 heifers that sold for $165 a piece.
Now, what year was that?
That's in 1928.
Oh, that was, I see, okay.
Yeah.
Those are your own cows then?
Oh, yeah, they were all my own cows.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have my own stock. And my old sows and my old horse and everything. So that was all sold on that sale. And we had there would have been a lot more there, but of course, you know, being there were so many sales that time, you know, we had quite a time. I had an auctioneer that come up from Iowa. He was a good auctioneer, but you know, and stuff sold fairly good, but being there were so many auctions every day, they like nowadays when there's hardly any farm auctions anymore.
What did milk bring back in the 20s?
Gee, I don't remember. I can't remember the dollar. If I still got the... No, I haven't got the books from out there. Well, of course, we didn't sell them. We sold cream.
We sold cream.
Yeah, we sold cream all the time we were out there. No, we were 3 farmers that changed. Hauling.
You haul every day then?
No, we were 3 days.
What was that for? That was just for butter then?
And then if we wanted to, we'd get the buttermilk. We'd get some buttermilk back. And let's see, that was in Delaware. We quit in Easton too, yeah. No, we sold milk in Easton. I'm sure we did, yeah. Because when I worked for John and Jim, that creamer was close by, and if he was sometimes we were short of help and we wasn't too busy, I have been over to help weighing milk. And there was kind of funny incident that happened that time. There was two German brothers that hauled milk in, and I forgot to weigh it and dumped it. And the other guy, he got put a man, he came in there, what a guy, I said, you got yesterday's milk. His brother was in with the milk the day before. I said, you can go right there. They didn't have to feel so bad about it. Well, I couldn't have an argument. I kept putting that dump in the milk tank, but got cooled off $4.
Well, what was the argument about?
I forgot to weigh his milk. That was all.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So we had to go by that day before.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't used to it, you know, and I was one of them. I think that, if I remember right, that's what it was. Oh, that's 40 years ago. So.
A little hard to remember.
Yeah, but I think that's what the name was Shimmer. I think that's what it's all about.
In 28, you sold out and drove?
We rented an apartment down in LA, you know, that was late in the wintertime, you know, till the middle of April. And, well, Greg and Jules went to school in LA. I don't think ours did. And then we left there, and then we took off for New York.
Well, where'd you leave your stuff when you came to New York, when you went to Denmark? Where'd you put
your
stuff?
We left there with Showalter.
Oh, here in Tenier.
Yeah, well, we didn't have much. We left a house, and then we just bought enough so we could get along. No, went for sale.
You didn't bring any furniture or anything with
no,
you?
No, the only thing we bought, I shipped it. We got a big box, you know, up in my room. That's sort of a cabinet. It was 2 doors to it, because there was an old German that made that for me. It was well made, and we filled that up with mattress and the blankets and stuff, and we shipped that to Syracuse, and told to hold it there until we called for it. So as we got to Penang, then we sent for it, and then we stored, and then we went to sales and bought a table and a few chairs, a couple of beds. And we stored all that off a show while until we came back. And then, of course, they went to auctions again and bought. That's where we bought those. Well, we bought one, the kitchen table. We bought that on one sale. And the one in the dining room, I guess we bought that on the Whitaker farm. A couple of years after we came up on the
kitchen. That's the one you got now, you mean?
They're both of them, yeah.
Oh, both of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the chairs. We bought some of the chairs on the Whitaker farm. I can't remember where. My mother liked to go to sale at the time. We would buy things. You know, we'd get a chair for $1 or $2 or $3 to get a rocking chair for $3-$4. You know, we got some of the rocking chairs there. I think they're getting to be the antique. There's one of the, let's see, what do you call those things on the rocking chair?
Runners?
Yeah, one of them. That's broke. And it's kind of difficult to picture. I wish there was somebody that could make a new runner.
Well, they need to do that. Probably could even glue it.
Huh?
Is it just cracked in here?
Yeah, it's a good rock. No, almost square, so it's kind of different. I was going to try to, bolt it together. You could put a crumb on a board on a little piece of iron on each side, and then run the four bolts to it.
I bet you some of this contact in it might do it.
No, I have tried, I have this, it isn't a poker, what do you call it now? There's two kinds you mix together.
Yeah, right.
And that's really strong. I tried that. I put that on there, but...
Didn't work?
No. Because I've done that on some of those cows and horses that I have sawed out. You know, and then the kids, you know, I had them piled on set on the floor, on the table. Then they know the top on the floor, and then they know that pine, the big right tooth, or leg would break off. And I fixed that, and, I put a couple of... I cut the head off a nail. You know, took two these little tiny nails and powdered in one and then powdered back. Then I put glue on and then I put that in another and then it helped pretty good.
Yeah.
I think they all the ones who got to home have been broke. Tail have been broke off.
Well, when did you go to Denmark?
In May 28th, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
When we went over for a visit?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in May 1928.
And how long were we over there?
Till middle of August. We came back, you know, so you kids could start school in September.
Oh, yeah. By then you spent your money and had to go to work?
Yeah. Well, we had a little left. It wasn't not a lot. You know, see, that cost us $2,500, I think it was, tickets and all. For all of you who went along over there and stayed over there. I think it's something like that. Well, then I went out and worked for Merlin Letchwood for 3 months. And we hauled second company hay and we filled silos. And then John Bishop wanted me to come over and help him and we hauled carrots. And then in November, I think it was, Showwater came out. And he said there was a farm for rent and they was going to leave. They wanted to leave a machine and a couple of horses on the farm. Well, I thought probably that was, at least I wouldn't have been wasting too much money if I didn't like it. So we went down and made arrangements for that and we wrote down all the machine and stuff and there was 100 bushels of oats there that were supposed to be 100 bushels of oats there when we left.
What was this now, Roger's place?
Yeah. And that summer, then of course we tried to buy the farm, we couldn't agree on the price, so we was going to move off. That next fall there, when we had the harvest, the sun came out and said, those 100 bushels of oats were hidden. Well, I said, I can't help that, 100 bushels of oats is in there, my contract's got to stay. But I said, if you get your mother to sign the paper, then you can sell it. I hauled it for him, and he did. And I had more trouble with Doc on oats. His mother hauled me into a lawyer, and she wanted the oats, and I couldn't explain it to her that she had given Lawson the right to haul, had that oat hauled in and sold. I said, there's your oats. And I was assured he got so mad, he wouldn't have nothing to do with her, you know. We couldn't do nothing. And She's by, that's across West Cleveland, Lord of Lamar, I think it's Lincoln. And, of course, he thought I was just a guy that came down here, you know, I was going to try to cheat the poor widow. And I told him I wouldn't pay that $100 a vote, no house. I paid for it once, and that's all it's going to be paid for. I sure wasn't out there. He went in that I owed him $100 a vote. But I talked long enough till I convinced the lawyer that I didn't owe him any vote. So,
well, you had a piece of paper, didn't you?
I can't remember if I, what I had done with that. So, anyhow, I bought all the machinery, and it was all down on the agreement. And, any kind, so then you know she owed for somebody. See, her husband held on for sure that summer. I was supposed to spend all the money. And then he died, you know, by the time that I came back, because I didn't know anything about that. And some of that stuff was paid for. There was a cream separator, and there was a scale, and she'd gone to a lawyer, and there wasn't all the farm machinery. Well, I said, I bought it, there's all here. But it says, if you want to pay me back, I'll haul everything back. Well, she wouldn't do that, because I suppose she spent the money already. Well, so I went in and talked to Shorten, and well, he said, why don't you give her some of that stuff? So, I hauled back this, it was another good farm scale and cream separator, two or three other things. I hauled that back, so you'll take it all right. But I said that time, now I went from an old widow woman, I went and did the same thing again. We got along pretty good. So.
Well, when you moved out on Rogers Farm, when the fall of 28?
Fall of 28 in November. Never stayed there till in the last part of February, in 30.
Yeah.
That's on the Kip Farm. Then we've been there since.
And you bought the Kip Farm when?
In 34.
34?
Yeah. And they built there for gas in 32. And then we worked at Kessler Place, you know what I mean? In 31, 32, 33, and 34. I think we worked for a year. And you remember the year we had so much hay, we hauled hay all summer. We put up hay to sell in August, the whole farm was seeded down to hay. And that winter we bailed and we never got a dollar for it.
What'd you do with it?
Well, the guy that bought it didn't have the money. And
you sold it and didn't collect it?
Yeah, we never collected it. Yeah. There were several, you know, of that kind. Mrs. Ketchum got some of hers. It was on chairs, you see. It was sold for $3. Only it was bailed. He had paid for the bailing. Then we got $3 a ton for it. And
then you didn't get $3
a ton.
Huh?
Then you
didn't get $3
a ton. No. Greg and Knut and I, we worked and swept there when the Albers and others. They were sitting in the shade. They couldn't take it. We were right down there holding hay. And when we were on the load, Greg and Knut, they were picking it up to me and I loaded and I mounted away. Well, it could take that time, but we never got the hint
of it. Not for that kind of money, you wouldn't take it.
No. And then you know that winter, you remember we all had Scottish fever. And,
what winter year was that?
Must have been the winter, 33 or 4.
Now, I remember we had one after the other. We were shut down for 3 months.
We get out for a couple of a week or two, and then we got a call from the school to come back and get it. Now another one had, and we remember we had 70 pounds of butter in the cellar.
Yeah. Seems to me it was more than that. Gosh, you had that great big.
Yeah.
I
remember we had that at least. Then we got a chance to sell some to a creamer down there that made butter, and then somebody squealed on us, and then they got stopped too, so we couldn't sell any, so we were back making butter. Well, it's one of those things.